In the entrepreneurial world, poorly using your creativity costs you money, right? Mm-hmm. Or using it better makes you money. Either way, there's this very close tie between your creativity, your productivity, your focus, and your revenue.
Welcome to Level Up Your Course, where we pull back the curtain on what it takes to create learning that transforms lives. You will hear stories from business owners like you who share their success and their struggles. This is not where you come to hear passive income myths, friend. This is where you learn the truth about building a profitable learning platform. I am your host, Janelle Allen, and this is today's episode. Hey, family, it's Janelle. So what you are about to hear is an interview, a live interview and workshop that I did with Charlie Gilkey. This is the first time that I've ever done anything like this, and it was so much fun. Charlie, if you're not familiar with his work, he's a logistics expert turned executive coach, and now he's a published author. He's just published a book called Start Finishing, which is a productivity system for people, well, for pretty much anyone, but especially people who want to do their best work. So dig in, enjoy, and let me know what you think. I'll see you in the outro. Today, if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Charlie Gilkey. He is the founder of Productive Flourishing, author of Start Finishing, and we're here to talk about his work as well as his new book and get some insight into who it's for and how it helps. Charlie, welcome to the show.
I am so pumped to be here. If I may ask, if you're listening, watching along, and we say something that's like really great, if you can give us either a TU for a thumbs up or like an HN for a head nod, it just helps us know that we're grooving and jiving. I mean, I know I'm going to be with Janelle, but hey, we're doing this live, so yeah. Throw us some love.
Please do. All right. So, Charlie, we have a tradition on the podcast. Since this is also going to be published on the podcast, I've got to do this. It is called the Rapid Five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, first one, what did you have for breakfast?
2 hard-boiled eggs, beef jerky, a blueberry Lara bar, a yogurt, and apple chips.
That's the biggest breakfast anyone has ever said on the show. So congratulations. I don't have a physical award for you, but I will figure something out.
Hey, if it's an award, I'll go after it. You got to be careful. All right, that's one.
Number 2, what is your favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, that one's super hard. Favorite movie of all time. I don't know that I have a favorite. I don't have a go-to. It just pops in the top of my head. I'm the worst with like the one favorite things. I can always give you 3 or 5. I can't give you one.
Okay, pass. That's a pass.
Okay.
All right. Number 3 is a very serious question here on the show. So you have your serious face on?
Okay. I do.
All right. The zombie apocalypse has hit.
Mm-hmm.
You have 6 minutes to grab 3 essential items to help you survive. Not people, all of your loved ones are good to go. You need 3 items. What do you pick?
A water, a lighter, and a combat knife.
Okay. I like that. Number 4, fill in the blank. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a blank.
Teacher.
Okay. All right. You're doing it. All right. Last one. What is the hardest lesson you have learned so far as an entrepreneur?
Things take longer than you think they're going to take. And at any given moment, you're probably doing better than you think you are.
I think that's a real one, especially that last part there. We always beat ourselves up. You know, something I like to tell people is give yourself some grace. You're not racing against anyone else. You're just trying to improve upon, you know, your former self. So do it. You're doing it. So that is a great segue into talking about you, Charlie, your entrepreneurial journey. How did you get here? How did you get to be Charlie Gilkey, author, executive coach, founder of Productive Flourishing? How did you get here?
So what's super funny about this is I was reading a post that I wrote back in 2008, and it was the first post where I publicly said, I'm starting to think that getting things done doesn't work so well for us creative people. Right. And I just say that because that's 2008. And look, it was one of those points where I was like, I don't remember saying that at the time so clearly, but it's like not a straight line to Start Finishing in the book. But that was really the first time where I was like, this ain't working. This is not just me. It's not just, you know, that sort of scenario. It's for a group of us. It ain't it. But to roll back, in the mid-2000s, I was simultaneously an Army Joint Force Military Logistics Coordinator, which is a mouthful, but that's basically making sure the Army, Navy, and Air Force were on the same sheet of music about logistics operations, so that when one team drops something somewhere, there would be another team to pick it up, and they take it to where they need to, and we were all on the same schedules and all in the same priorities. So you'd think that was a well-oiled machine, and it was, because guys like me are doing all the oiling to make that happen. So I was doing that jam at the same time that I was completing a PhD in philosophy. So I'm an ethicist and social philosopher by training. Mm-hmm. I had recently come back from Operation Iraqi Freedom, and I'd bought a house with my wife, and I was trying to be, you know, good husband, good homeowner, and trying to renovate this house, trying to complete my PhD, doing the Army thing. And, you know, it sounds so funny at the time, because I'm like, man, I got to get my stuff together. I'm not getting it all done. Like, what am I doing with my life? And I just realized that I had a lot of things that I wasn't getting to. And it was really challenging for me, because on the one hand, I can move hundreds of people and thousands of pieces of equipment and manage, you know, a lot of a combat theater and logistics. But this 5,000 word essay was kicking my butt. Like, what's up with that? Right. And so I did what any teacher and officer would do. And I was like, okay, I'm not the only person with this problem.
Yeah.
Right. I've studied philosophy enough to know that all, like, most problems are common problems and universal problems. We just think it's our stuff. So I started reading all the literature, the seven habits, the getting things done, the whatever it was at the time. And I was like, ugh, like, it's sort of there, but it's sort of not. And so I started filling in the gaps between what I had learned from philosophy and what I learned from the military and Boy Scouts. And that started the foundations of my work, which became Productive Flourishing, which got distilled into Start Finishing. Being a business consultant and executive coach was never on the roadmap. I fell into it backwards. And with great, it took a lot of tugging for people to actually get me to do it. Basically, I started it just out of fear of embarrassment at a certain point. And that's sort of grown over the last decade or so into very different things. But it all revolves around some of the really fun paradoxes of, like, one, why is it that the things we most want to do, we don't get to? Mm-hmm. Two, why is it that we're naturally wired to be motivated by progress? We're naturally wired to do great work with friends and people we love. We're naturally wired to make people happy. And yet, when it comes to teams, we fall down all the damn time, right? That setting, which we think would be conducive for us doing great work, is the very setting that gets us upside down. And so most of my day, I'm working through, like, those types of apparent paradoxes. And really, what's going on here? What's in the way of us doing these things that we're very primarily wired to do?
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack there. I love when I ask that question, because people just give these huge, you know, these huge spans of life and, you know, distill it down to, like, a couple minutes. But the first thing that popped up, you said getting things done, which, for anyone who doesn't know what that is, can you explain what that is really quickly?
Yeah, Getting Things Done is one of the canonical books in personal productivity. David Allen, in many ways, in the early 2000s, catalyzed a movement around us just getting stuff done, which was separate than sort of the seven habits Stephen Covey approach, which was much more about principles. And so I would say that in many ways, David Allen really kicked off this personal productivity conversation. Yeah. And there's been a lot of us that followed since then.
Right. And so you felt that that system did not work for creatives. Can you talk about why? What is it about it that doesn't work?
Yeah, so I'll be brief here. First, I want to give mad respect for David and his work. It was really a big inspiration, so I'm not just going to bash the crap out of it. Yeah. And what I will say is it's exceptionally good for managers who work in a corporate environment. That's what it was designed for. If we want to make a sort of caricature, like, getting things done is like boomer productivity. Whereas when you start looking at many of us Xers or millennials, like, that rigid structure, that's not how we work. And more importantly, we have grown up in a world where it's creative knowledge work and the ability to convert ideas into marketable value that is really driving our careers. We can't just get a job and manage folks, manage things for 6 or 7 years. We got to both do that and do some deep creative or significant work while we're doing that at the same time. So the pressures are different and I would say higher. And so what Getting Things Done will help people do is be hyper-reactive and keep things moving when other people are doing the work. And it's really great at tasks, and it's really great at sort of getting all of the things on your brain out of your brain and into a system. So that's what's great about it. Where that sets us up is there are a few rules. Like there's one that I could point to, like the 2-minute rule. And 2-minute rule is basically if something comes to your brain and you can just get it done in 2 minutes, don't put it on the list. Don't put it in the to-do list. Just do it and move on. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Except how many times have we creative people lost flow because we're like, oh, I'm just going to jump and do the 2-minute thing.
Right.
And then you click on something else or you completely lost the thread of whatever you were doing. You completely lost that hours of mojo that you put up on doing that. So for instance, in the context of making a course, it seems like one of those quick things to just jump and to see what the top courses on Udemy are in your thing. It seems like you could do that in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Do it. Right. You know what's going to happen. Right. 4 hours later, you'll be in a click hole and you'll have jumped from Facebook to email to Twitter. You might have already, you know, started your first glass of wine because everyone else is killing it and you're not. All of those things start happening with just that sort of one thing. And so that particular rule made it such that we could be hyper distractible in an environment where we're already hyper distractible.
Right.
Right. There's some other aspects like keeping up with context. And there's a lot of meta productivity that's part of the system that doesn't actually drive the work forward. But again, what I started looking at was, okay, the main thing that we have to focus on as creative people is not tasks, but projects. How do we tie these week-sized projects to bigger projects and keep momentum on them and keep it going? Because all of us here, everyone here, I bet, could rock the crap out of a to-do list and get to the end of the week and realize that the stuff that mattered most didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
Right? And so that's really what I started to notice is like I'm really good at the apparent motion that this system provides, but it's not making me get some progress towards where I'm most trying to go.
It's so interesting that, you know, we're doing this today because one of my clients had just posted something about focusing on tasks. And I had this visceral reaction. No, for me, that was a huge shift when I stopped looking at a long list of to-dos and started grouping things into projects and seeing, you know, what I needed to do to move the project forward. It just changed everything. So I absolutely agree with you, and I can't wait to get into some practical tips. So Charlie, I have to ask, before we start talking about the book, I'm trying to see this transition from logistics veteran to executive coach and author. Like there's this creative thread that one wouldn't think jives with what you were doing when you were in the armed forces. So was creativity always a part of you and what you were working towards? Can you talk about that?
So it was really my mid-20s before I started identifying as a creative person, which is really funny because creative for me meant more like that Black Beret creativity, you know, where you're like painting and smoking cigars and writing novels and, you know, that sort of side of things, not this very functional problem solving, sort of what I call everyday creativity. And so much of my job as a logistics officer was that type of problem solving, root cause focused, like, how are we going to thread this needle with these constraints? And so for me, planning is a creative process. Strategy making is a creative process. Figuring out how you're going to align these resources is a creative process, much like playing a real-time strategy game is, right? In that same way.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, I grew up in a military family. I've been in Boy Scouts since I was 6. That was always a part of like, basically, here's what we got. We need to go there. How are we getting from here to there? Right.
Yep.
And so in many ways, that was a real natural transition into executive coaching and business coaching, because it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You got this. Here's how it's arranged. Here's where it needs to go. How are you going to go from here to there in the timeline that you have to solve all the problems that you have along the way? So it's really the same thing. Just add in the people element of things, which I'd learned again through just my background and through being in the military, through leadership. So it was just kind of like all those things that American tax dollars have paid quite nicely for me to have. Mm-hmm. Just applied in a slightly different context. But human problems sounds like a tautology. Human problems are human problems. Like there's not that much difference between some of the patterns we were seeing in the Army versus the patterns that we see in the business world versus the patterns that we see in the entrepreneurial world. The chief difference, especially when we apply to the entrepreneurial world, is two things. In the entrepreneurial world, poorly using your creativity cost you money, right? Mm-hmm. Or using it better makes you money. Either way, there's this very close tie between your creativity, your productivity, your focus, and your revenue.
Yes.
Right? Whereas in other places, showing up and punching a clock may actually be what gets you paid, right? We don't have that luxury as entrepreneurs. There's not a clock we could punch. There's stuff we have to ship and things we need to sell to make that money and bring home the bread. So that's the main difference, but it's not a difference in human patterns as much as it is. It just pulls into focus the intensity of being a creative on demand.
Yeah. Really quickly before we move on, I love how you framed just recognizing the thread between the work that you used to do and the work that you do now. I think Pam Slim just recently wrote a book that talks a bit about that. So, and she's going to be on the show in a few weeks, by the way.
Yeah.
So thank you. Let's transition now and talk about this wonderful book that you just published, Start Finishing. So what is it about? Who is it for?
Yeah. So real quick, you're right. Pam Slim wrote Body of Work. I reference it so much that I already have it in the link. So if you want to check it out and buy it, please do support my good friend and sister, Pam Slim. I'm in that book. So hat tip there. So what Start Finishing is about is bridging the gap between the life you currently live and the life you want to live with finished projects. Finished projects are that bridge. If you don't finish the right projects, you stay stuck in the life you currently have. Now, it's about life and work, which is what's, I think, one of the different things about the book, because we can apply the frameworks from it just as much as we can for the work of our lives, as much as the life of our work. And so it is really for those of us who are in that place where we have too many ideas, not enough time, and trying to figure out how to make it work. What I would say is there are three major emotions that Start Finishing helps us work through as creative people. So one is overwhelm. We're caring too much, don't know what to do about it, and just stuck. Two is exasperation. That exasperation you feel when you've worked your butt off all week, but you're not anywhere forward, right? Or that exasperation you feel where you've done all the things and there's been that person that's got that one project that's just been like a dog with a bone, and they're lapping you multiple times over and you're just super frustrated about. And then the third is regret, getting to the end of a week, month, quarter, year, decade, and realizing that the way you've spent this one precious life you have has not been in alignment with the things that matter most.
Oh, and gosh, so, Charlie, why are you calling all of us out like this?
That's what it's about, right? At the end of the day. And so if you extract away like all of the systems, all of the productivity stuff, all of the actions, all of that sort of tactical stuff, that's really the conversation that we're having. How do we, as these soulful, creative, compassionate people, do better about, you know, managing our overwhelm, setting better expectations that don't lead us to exasperation, and use the time that we have in the way that's, we feel, you know what, I didn't do all the things, but I did the things that matter most.
Yeah, absolutely. So where did the genesis of this book come from? I know that you said, you know, just with your body of work, you've always been tugging at this. But was there a moment where the light bulb went off or you had so many people asking certain questions? Tell us about the genesis.
Yeah, so the book, there are several things going on. One is it's really awkward when you've been doing this as long as I have and you don't have a go-to book. Like, go read this book about that thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I kept having to say, like, go read Deep Work, but then go read this other one, but then like don't pay attention to that, but then do that. And so it got super awkward because it's always like, well, here are the three books you need to read, but chapter four is awkward.
Yeah.
So that's one, is that I needed a reference for all of the work. Two is that, you know, just in my own business, there's a book-shaped hole in it. Right. And so it's one of those things. And three, because it's just, you know what, all you entrepreneurs, all you leaders, you want to come talk about strategy, you want to talk about team building, you want to talk about all these cool things, but we're not getting it done. The foundations are not in place. And I'm tired of that conversation where we come up with all these great plans, all these great ideas. The next day, we have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
We're helping each other. So you know what? I'm going to focus on foundations. And that's what I've been doing until this book, you know, has been published. And right now I'm thinking like, what am I going to build on top of that? But that's really what it came to, is it's like, look, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, as creative knowledge workers, all the great ideas don't matter. It's our execution and our ability to pull them into light and ship them in the marketplace make the difference that they're going to make, and then weave into and roll into the next one. That's what matters.
Yeah.
And so start finishing was in many ways me eating my own damn cooking and focusing on the foundations before I just moved on to something else and, you know, had all the fun, pretty social Sudoku talks of strategy and marketing and all those things.
Cool. I want to ask you one question because you have been an executive coach, consultant, but you do have a course and now you have a book. In your opinion, what are the differences in your approach to coaching versus teaching?
So I will say that I am a non-traditional coach. Many coaches would say that I would be a terrible coach because when it comes to executive coaching and entrepreneurial coaching, it's not true that the client has the answer. Right. And life coaching and personal coaching, that's one of the sort of myths that you don't mess with is that the client, they have the answers and your job is to help them find it. As an entrepreneur and executive, sometimes you just don't know what the hell's going on and you can't see it. Right. You just literally, there is a knowledge gap or there's an experience gap that there's no like, so that's a sort of meta rant.
Okay.
But I had to start that when it comes to the difference between executive coaching and teaching. So when it comes to coaching, there is this sort of co-discovery as you go along between you give a little bit of information, it orients the client to their challenge, and then they can start problem solving their way out of it. But there is that tug there. Whereas with teaching, you're taking someone on a conceptual journey. There's a start, there's a middle, there's an end. And at the end of that journey, whatever you have promised them, they should be there. And I think, you know, when it comes to courses, there's a lot we can talk about when it comes to this, but some of the things that I've seen people not do really well is it's like, well, I got a lot of stuff and a lot of information I want to talk about. So I'm just going to create a course.
Yeah.
That's a terrible reason to make a course, right? The reason you want to make a course is because you have a way of getting someone from point A to point B, and information is the way to get them there. If you don't know what that point A is and that point B is, what you've got is a lot of information. You don't yet have a course. And I know that's simplifying a lot of things, but there is that very much like who owns the journey. And from a teaching format, the teacher in many ways does own that journey. Whereas from a coaching format, the client is much more in the driver's seat of that journey.
I like how you put that. And, you know, to add on to what you said about information, it's absolutely right. You know, one of the reasons why I strongly advise people to start with services before they create a course is because you develop your own process for doing something after a while. You start to see the patterns of what people ask for over and over. And eventually you're going to figure out a way to package up your answer. And ultimately that leads you to having your way of getting from point A to point B. Because often information is not the answer. I've written about that. I've ranted about it. People don't just need information. Information is everywhere. What they're looking for is, to your point, a guide to get them where they want to go. So they're looking for transformation, not information. So I just wanted to add on to that because it's something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. If I can jump in here real quick, and yeah, this is not plugging my own product, but it's an instantiation of that. My first product was a product called Email Triage. And it's basically a process, a system agnostic process for helping people work through their inbox and get some peace and sanity with it. And where this came up is I had said on dozens of calls with clients where, whether they're executives or whether they're entrepreneurs, they're like, Charlie, I just can't think because I got 200 emails in my inbox and I don't know what to do about it. I just can't.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it sounds like we're not talking about strategy today. It sounds like I'm sitting here while you go through your email and we're going to go through this in a strategic way and figure out what's going on. And so I was sitting through dozens and dozens of meetings with clients being like, oh, there are trends here to your email. Like, you don't need that. You do need that. Why are you subscribed to that? You haven't read that in a year. Get rid of it, right? All those types of things where I was like, you know what? I'm glad to have done that. And my clients do not need to be paying me what they're paying me to sit with them to do this guided process that I've now done. So I created a course that is actually a guided process where Janelle is literally like, here's where you're doing. Like, go do this. Pause this now. And when you're done, unpause this. And we're going to go to the next step. So I did the best I could to like recreate that experience. And again, not trying to plug that, but it was to your point, like this process works. And in some ways, a great reason to do a course is because you know that there's a broader audience of people who needs to go through that same process. And you don't want to be the person like Flintstoning them through that entire process. Like, okay, I'm going to get in a car with you. We're going to go through this. Like courses can do a really great job of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some final three questions for you. First one, what's next? I know you're on book tour. Is anything exciting outside of the book tour coming up?
I don't know. I mean, I put myself on a new project diet until February.
Okay.
Just because there's just so much of airing out this book launch that I need to focus on. So I've got another book working on me, but I don't know if it's going to be the one that I decide to do next. That's it. I mean, okay. I'm okay in this period of time, like not knowing.
Taking your own advice.
I try.
Where can people find out about you and your work?
So you can find out about me at productiveflourishing.com. Pretty much all roads lead to productive flourishing because I'm not good about maintaining multiple websites. If you're just focused on the book, you can go to startfinishingbook.com. P.S. It's going to redirect you back to PF, but that's okay. And so those are the two places. If you're on social media, I'm most active on Twitter at Charlie Gilkey, although I am trying to make better friends with Facebook at this point.
All right. Facebook's a hot button right now. We're going to dodge that bullet. So last question for you, one that I ask all of my guests. What's your why? Why do you get up and do this work?
I want people to live their best lives.
Nice and concise. I love it. Yeah. Jaquette, thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and everyone who popped in. This was great. This is the first time we're doing this. Charlie, thank you so much for coming and sharing your expertise. All right. We will see you next time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, family. I hope that all is well in your world, and I hope that you enjoyed that interview with Charlie Gilkey. Charlie is a super smart guy, and especially when it comes to the field of productivity, really just getting things done, project management, all of that good stuff. So if that is your jam, you want to learn more from Charlie. And in a moment, I'll tell you how you can do that. But really quickly, at the top of this episode, I said that this was a live interview. In fact, this was the first time that we did something like this. First time I've ever done a live podcast interview. And it was a lot of fun. But there was more. We didn't just do the podcast interview that you just heard. We also did a workshop portion where Charlie got to dig in and share expertise. In fact, specifically methods from his new book, Start Finishing, which is all about helping you to finish the work that matters, strategies and tactics to get work done. So if you want to check out the workshop portion, here's what you need to do. Head over to the show notes. I've made this super simple. There's no extra link that you need to go to. You can find out more about Charlie and get access to the workshop by just checking out the show notes. And you can find those by heading over to zencourses.co/116. Once again, that is zencourses.co/116 for episode 116, which this is. All right, that is my time. I will see you next time. All right, my friends, that is my time. Remember, before you can level up your course, you must first level up your mind. As always, thank you for hanging out with me for another great episode. I do not take it for granted. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been Level Up Your Course. Peace.